We're holding on at page 84 in Ksubas Oislamid Vav. We left off yesterday. The Gemara had asked, why did Rebbe appoint his Talmud Rav Chanina Bar Choma as the next Rosh Hashiva after him instead of his great Talmud Rav Chiya? So first the Gemara had said that maybe Rav Chiya passed away while Rebbe was alive, and we brought a number of brises that seemed to say the other way around, and the Gemara said about each one of them, maybe epoch, we have to flip it around, and the indication is that Rav Chiya passed away before Rebbe. But then the Gemara had finished off, not necessarily. In fact, maybe Rav Chiya outlived Rebbe, but Rav Chiya was busy with mitzvahs, as we're going to tell now, and therefore Rebbe figured, I don't want to take him away from that and make him Rosh Hashiva where he won't have the opportunity to do these things. So what kind of mitzvahs are we talking about? Bahainu, we find as follows. When Rav Chanina and Rav Chiya would be arguing which one's contributions to Torah are greater. Each of them has their derech and avodah, and they're arguing which one is greater and which one is more significant. Omele Rav Chanina l'Rav Chiya. So Rav Chanina pointed out to Rav Chiya. He would say, you're arguing with me. You think that your way is better. If the Torah were to have been forgotten by the Jewish people, I would be able to restore it based on my pilpul. He's so expert at being able to deduce one thing from another in Torah that he would be able to reconstruct it all based on that. Rav Chiya tells him, so you're telling me that if it were to be forgotten, then you would have that ability, meaning you have the koyach to be able to restore the Torah. I'll tell you, says Rav Chiya, what I have bepoil. I know Abdi de la Mishtach HaTorah Yisrael, I make it proactively to begin with that the Torah won't be forgotten by the Jewish people. As he's going to describe how he's going to teach Torah to children so that it doesn't get forgotten in the first place. Daisina kitna, so he says, I bring flax seeds, the shadina, and I plant them, umagadalman nishri, and I eventually, after I harvest the flax, I weave the flax into nets, with sayibna tavia, I use the nets to trap. I weave nets from the flax, but sayibna tavia, and I use the nets to trap deer. Umachilna bisrali yasni, as far as the meat from the deer, I give them to poor yisoimim to eat, so that way you're doing tzedakah as well. Va'arichna megilta, then I take the skins and I make parchment out of them, and I make arichna means I prepare. Rashi points out the word arich in Aramaic can mean prepared or ready or suitable. I make them suitable to use as megillas, to use as scrolls. Mimashka ditavi, from the skins of those deer. The salikna lamasa, the less. Now we're saying that he's putting in all these steps by himself. Some of the mafoshim say that in fact it's so. Marsha refers over here to this Gemara is also in Bava Metzia. Marsha explains over there that Rav Chiya made sure to do all these things himself, so that the Torah that he's teaching these children, as he's going to go on to say, is going to be in the purest possible way. Mashenkin, if he would let's say buy ready-made scrolls or even ready-made parchment or whatever, not necessarily would the people who wrote those scrolls. Who made that parchment or whatever, have such kavanas as he would, and therefore the Torah that he taught them, that he teaches the children, might not be so perfect. In that connection, they mentioned there's a famous verse from the Vilna Gaon that says, in the same way, if there was to be a shul, that every detail of it is built completely honestly, and not even one little piece of it was gained dishonestly, then when you daven in such a shul, inevitably you're going to have kavana. So in the same way over here. Go find such a shul. But anyway, yeah. How long did all this take? Doesn't say. Obviously, once he has one deal, he can write quite a few megillas from it. But yeah. With that said, though, Ben Yehoyada says, Rav Chiya doesn't necessarily mean that he's actually doing all these steps. He just means, if it's necessary, I'll do all these steps. But if not, if I can find ready-made scrolls of chumashim for purchase, or ready-made cloth where I can write my own, then I'll do that instead rather than going through all the steps. Anyway, he continues, the salikna lamasa b'lesba makri dardiki, I go to a town where there are no malamdim, the kasivna chamisha chumshi la chamisha yanuki, I write out the five chumashim, Nashim, one chumash for each of five children, umasnina shisa sidri l'shita yinuki, then I teach the shisha sidri mishnah, one seder to each of six children, l'chochad b'chad, and l'chochad b'chad, amrivei, asni sidroch l'chamroch, and I tell each one of them, you teach your seder, and you teach your chumash to the other ones. So in other words, I'll teach you. So you'll have you, I'm teaching Chumash Bereishis. Your friend is going to be learning Chumash Shmos. You're going to be, you're going to be learning Seder Zeroyim. Another one, you're learning Seder Moyev, etc. Afterwards, after I leave town, you're going to each teach, each of you is going to be the Rebbe for a while and teach you Chaverim, teach the other 10 Chaverim what you learned. And that way, all of you will eventually know it. So Rav Chiya points out that way I'm preventing the Torah from being forgotten in the first place, because town by town I'm teaching the children Torah. V'hainu d'omer Rebbe kamagdor l'maisei Chiya, as we find, in fact, that Rebbe says how great are the deeds of Chiya, meaning this kind of thing, that he's going from town into town and being mechanech the children. So therefore, according to the second answer that we learned yesterday, that's why Rebbe considered that job that Rebbe Chiya is doing is even more important than being the Rosh Hashiva, the central Rosh Hashiva for the entire Jewish people, at least the ones in Eretz Yisrael, that this is more important than that. So in other words, in short, if the argument between Rav Chiya and Rav Chanina is basically which one is better, Ben Yehoyada talks about, in other words, that the argument between them is basically what's better, complete focus on Torah, or also Maisim Tovim together with it. Rav Chanina is taking the view, complete focus on learning Torah, that's what's important. Therefore, and you see from that, I have the ability, because of that I could reconstruct the Torah if it was to be forgotten, Chas v'Shalom. Whereas Rav Chiya is saying it's important to also do Maisim Tovim together with it, like I'm going around and teaching the children, which is Gemilas Chassadim.
What's the difference between this Girsa and said it's already brought in the Baba Masiyah?
So there are many times the Gemara repeats stories in different places. But now when Rebbe is saying Kamak Dola Maisim Chiyah, then we see that Rebbe endorsed Rav Chiyah's position. So Rav Shimon Berebi asks his father, do you mean that Rav Chiya's deeds, that what he's accomplishing is even greater than what you're accomplishing? And Rebbe says yes. Which Maharal Shah says, not necessarily is that literally so. The fact is, Rebbe, we know, was a famous Anav, so it may be that Rebbe is only saying it's greater than me in a sense of anivus. Maybe not necessarily in reality is it so. Anyway, Amalei Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi, afilu my Abba. Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi asks Rabbi, "What about is what Rabbi Chiya is accomplishing? Is it greater than what my father, the Tanna Rabbi Yosi, did?" Amalei, and Rabbi says, "Chas v'shalom lo teika zois b'Yisrael. Chas v'shalom, such a thing should never be said among the Jewish people. As much as Rabbi Chiya is accomplishing, Rabbi Yosi accomplished more." We do find in a number of places in Shas that Rabbi had tremendous respect and tremendous love for Rabbi Yosi. He learned by many of the Tanoim of the previous generation, but he had a particular respect and affection for Rabbi Yosi, and therefore, so he's saying it's impossible that what Rabbi Chiya is accomplishing should be greater than his. So to say that he's greater than his own, fine, that's a nivus. But to be frum on Yenim's chesh, but that he's not going to do. Anyway, so again, that explains why Rebbe didn't appoint Rav Chiya as the new Rosh Hashiva. Continuing now with the story before Rebbe's Ptira, now that he had given basic instructions to his sons about how they should treat their mother and how they should have things set up in the house, and he had told the Chachamim about the instructions of who should succeed him in the various roles that he had filled, now Amalehem Levni Kotnan, and he said that he had appointed Reb Shimon, that we said that Reb Gamliel was going to be the new Nasi, and Reb Shimon we said was Chacham, which either means that he's just stating a fact that Reb Shimon is very wise in matters of Torah, or it means he's saying that Rav Shimon will fill the role, or is already filling and will continue to fill the role of Chacham as a senior position in the yeshiva. Anyway, Amalehem Levni Kotna Nitzarech, so now Rebbe tells the people around him, I need my younger son, I need to speak to him one-on-one. Nichnas Rav Shimon Etzloi, Rav Shimon came to see his father Rebbe, Mosolei Sidrei Chachma, and Rebbe gave to him the orders of Chachma. Now, what does that mean? Iyun Yaakov says, for example, you have various things that we learn about in Pirkei Avos, that Yiras Chet has to come before a person's Chochma, and Shiva Dvarim B'Golim B'Shiva B'Chocham, and so forth. So those kinds of things he's teaching him. Meaning, obviously, Rav Shimon knew these things from before, but now Rebbe is teaching him new dimensions in them and to reinforce it. Eitz Yosef says another possibility, Sidrei Chochma means the details of Maisa Merkava, Maisa Bereishis and Maisa Merkava that we learned about a little bit of it in Chagiga. So now Rebbe, in his last moments, is teaching that to Rav Shimon. Omalahem Levni Godo on Itzarich. Then he tells them, I need to see my elder son, Rav Gamliel. Nichnas Rav Gamliel, Etzler, Masalai Sidra Nesius. So Rav Gamliel came to see his father, and Rebbe gives over to him the order of how to be a Nasi. So that also, there's a Seder of how to do it. Omalai, and among other things, he tells him, Bni Nahoig Nesius Chabaramim. Run your nesius in a great highway, meaning in other words, so Rashi brings Shetei Yosha Ben Agdolim, make sure to sit among the great chachamim. Don't just be by yourself. Make sure that you have other great chachamim around them. There's a parenthetical note inserted into Rashi that brings from the Oruch that the word is not beromim but rather bedomim. So bedomim would mean with money. So in other words, it would mean run your nesius in a way, first of all, that you show that it's very, very important to you. It's not something that you would sell or give away very easily, the covet of it. And also that even if you have to collect money from them, and the nasi, after all, is supported by the tzibur, so you have to collect money from them, do it in a way that they're not mezalzel in you, that they don't think that we support him, so therefore he has to bend to our will. And then another meaning is biyad rama, act in a very high-handed way. In other words, you have to show them who's boss. And zroik mara v'tamidim, and throw a bitterness on the talmidim. Meaning the talmidim have to partially fear you; they should have aima for you. Marsha explains the double expression nahog nesius chabaramim means relative to the gdolim who are surrounding you, make sure that they realize that you're the boss. Then you have as far as the talmidim who are on an even lesser level, then make sure that don't even show them ponim sechkes, a smiling face. Be serious in their presence so they don't think to make light of you and think less of you. In other words, being a Nasi involves that you have to show a sense of gvura to the Talmidim and to the other people around you. That's what Eber points out in Tanya, in one of the Igris and Igeres HaKodesh, that you have, this is when a person is Mitzada Gvura, you have Chesed versus Gvura. Hillel, for example, was Mitzada Chesed. Rav Gamliel would be an example over here, a Nasi, who is being told he needs to be Mitzada Gvura, and he needs to act in a way to the Talmidim to demonstrate that Gvura and demonstrate that they have to have a fear of him. Well, the Gemara asks, Amy, is that so? Is that how a Nasi is supposed to act towards the Talmidim and towards the other people around him? You have a posik in Tilim, in Kapitel Tesvav. You have a list of the good midis of a person through which it starts in the capital. Mi yogu ba'olecha, mi yishkin b'hayu kodshecho, who deserves a place in Gan Eden and to be close to Hashem. And it lists 11 good midis, and one of them is Ves Yireh Hashem Yechavid. He honors those who fear Hashem. Va'omamar, and we learn in a b'raisa, Zeh Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda. An example of that is Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda. We talked about him yesterday. Choya Roya Tamad Chacham, when he would see a Tamad Chacham, Haya Oven Mikis. So he, Yehoshaphat, would stand up from his throne, and he would hug him and kiss him, Rebbe, Rebbe, Mori, Mori, and would call him my Rebbe, my Rebbe, my master, my master. So we see that a king, and similarly a Nasi, should act in an avodic way towards a Talmud Chacham, not like Rebbe is telling Rav Gamliel over here to act in a very strict and severe way to them. And that's a king, yeah. Where do we get this from? Marsha explains at the end of Makkos, the Gemara goes through that entire capital and darshans it, and darshans phrase by phrase what each of those 11 midas are. The Gemara, so Marsha explains over there, there's a story in Sefer Melachim where at one point Yehoshaphat, together with also the king of Yisrael, who was a Rosha, and the king of Edom, who's really not a king, but rather a governor, answerable to Yehoshaphat, whatever, the three of them with their armies are going to war against Moav. They have a situation over there. They're running out of water. They need Elisha to give them a nevuah that they're going to be successful in war. So, and the pasuk describes over there by Yered Yehoshaphat to Melech Yisrael that the three of them, that it says Yehoshaphat went down together with the king of Yisrael and so forth. So it doesn't mention him by title. It doesn't say Melech Yehuda. And it says by Yered he went down. Why? Because they're going to see Elisha, who besides being a Navi was also the top Talmud Chacham of that time. So we see, therefore, that Yehoshaphat would show respect to a Talmud Chacham and go down, like you were saying, he would get up off his throne and hug him. So then the answer is like kasha habat sina habat pahesia. It depends whether you're talking about in private. Then yes, he should respect each talmid chacham. But when it's in public, then he has to show the dignity of a king. Then that's what Rebbe is telling Rebbe Gamliel: zloik mora b'talmidim, act in a strong and severe way towards them, that they should see they have to have derech eretz for you, and there's no playing around with that. So similarly with Yehoshaphat and the Rambam paskins this lahalacha, a king by all means should be honoring some of the chachamim, but when it's in public, then no, he can't give up the dignity of his office. Melech shemachal al kvoide en kvoide machal. Okay. The Gemara continues. Tanya, Rebbe Muto Bitsipori. Now Rebbe, all the time that he was sick over here throughout this whole story, and he was in the city of Tzipori. Actually, the Yerushalmi says that he was living for 17 years, the last 17 years of his life, he lived in the city of Tzipori. It mentions a famous thing where Rebbe said about himself, the same way as Yaakov had his best 17 years in Eretz Mitzrayim, by Yechi Yaakov, Eretz Mitzrayim, Shvayas Roshana, the same way he said about himself, by Yechi Yehuda, Bitsipori, Shvayas Roshanin. Anyway, so he was in Sipori, the place that was prepared for Rebbe's burial is located in Beis Sha'arim, which is another town in the north of Eretz Yisrael. So I'm going to ask you, telling me that Rebbe was not living in the city of Beis Sha'arim, Vahatanya, we learned in a braisa, this was a couple of days ago in Dafa Yomi, Tzedek Tzedek Tudor, if the Pasuk says, justice, justice you should pursue, so that has a number of meanings. It means that the Dayanim have to be careful to do 100% justice, but one of the meanings is the double expression, Tzedek Tzedek, means that also there's an instruction over there for the Bali Din themselves, not just the Dayan has to be 100% fair, but the Bali Dinim themselves are responsible to find the most expert based in to judge their case rather than just going to whatever local rabbonim they can find, or having a zabla based in or whatever. So the Braisa gives a list over there of different chachamim and the places where they were the rabbonim and the heads of their local batidinim, and one of them is Holachacha Rebbe the Beis Sha'arim. One of them is that if you're in the area, Beis Sha'arim, go to Rebbe's based in, because that's the top based in of that time in the city of Beis Sha'arim. An interesting point, by the way, one of the Mephoshim says over there on that Gemara in Sanhedrin, do we have to have a braisa to tell us geography, to tell us that in each place, in each of these places, you're going to find this and this great Talmid Chacham? If you're in the area, you ask around, you find who the head of the Beis Din is. And one of the Mephoshim there, I don't remember now who, says an interesting idea on it, that it's meant to indicate, the braisa wants to tell you, for example, even after Rebbe has passed away, as long as the members of his Beis Din, as long as his Beis Din is still functioning, after he's gone, continue going to that Beis Din as well. There's an expression in a pasuk in Kehelas, Mokum Shigipol Ha'etz Shom Yehu, where the tree falls, there it is. Which means, in other words, the Medrash explains on it, Rashi brings it on the pasuk, the place where its tzaddik lived, he continues to have an effect there even after he's gone Begashmias. So therefore, in other words, if Rebbe was the top, was the head of the Beis Din in Beis Sha'arim, and that was the best Beis Din in that area, that was the Beis Din Yotva, even after Rebbe has passed away, Mokum Shiyipala Eitz Shom Yehu, his effect still lingers over there long afterwards, as long as the other members of his Beis Din are still functioning. Anyway, the point is, we see from that Rebbe lived and worked in Beis Sha'arim. So what are you saying, he was in Sipori? The answer is, yeah, Rebbe Beis Sha'arim Hava. Rebbe, in fact, did live for a period of time in Beis Sha'arim. Ela kiven decholash, but when he became sick, amtiyul at Sipori, then they brought him to Sipori, demidalia, because Sipori is on high elevation. The Gemara elsewhere mentions that the city was called Sipori because it's perched on top of a mountain, like the way a tzipor, a bird, perches on top of a tree, or bos navira, and therefore the air is clearer over there, and it would be better for Rebbe's health. So again, in the event we're saying Rebbe, it wasn't just when Rebbe's final illness, we're saying 17 years before Rebbe passed away, already he moved to Sephardi. But nevertheless, years before, he had prepared in Beis Sha'arim, where he was going to be buried there. An interesting point that's discussed in that regard is, was Rebbe in fact buried in Beis Sha'arim? Now, on the one hand, there are Sfarim from late Rishonim and early Achronim that describe, they mention a place in Sephardi, which is supposed to be the burial place of Rebbe. On the other hand, so in that case, then that would mean they prepared a place in Beis Sha'arim, but in the end they didn't bury Rebbe over there, in the end they buried him in Sipurdi after all. On the other hand, though, the Yerushalmi, the parallel Yerushalmi to this Gemara over here, tells, we talked about it yesterday or the day before, that the Ebishtim made the day there the Rebbe passed away on Erev Shabbos, and the Ebishtim made the day extra long so they would have time to bring Rebbe all the way to Beis Sha'arim from Sipurdi to bury him, and they would have time for a spadim and all that and still get back home and have time to prepare for Shabbos before Shabbos Shabbos began. Maybe should have made the day extra long. So if so, then it comes out they did bury him in Beis Sharim. So, in fact, they found, you go nowadays to Beis Sharim, it's a town in the north of Eretz Yisrael, in the Galil, you have over there a whole area that they found a whole bunch of burial caves from that period, from the time of Rebbe and a couple of centuries either side of it. They found one cave over there that has inscriptions on various niches in it. They have one labeled Gamliel, another one named Shimon, and another one labeled Chanina, which may be the Chanina Bachama that we were talking about before. Then in the back of the cave over there, there's a double space over there without a name on it, which it may be. That's actually the space that was prepared for Rebbe and his wife. There's no inscription on it, but nevertheless, there is you ask the tour guides over there, they'll tell you that apparently was where Rebbe and his wife were buried. So if so, then what's the one in Sipurdi? So there is an argument that one is not actually Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, which is Rebbe, but rather Rabbi Yehuda Nissia, who is the grandson of Rebbe. He, Taka, lived in Sipurdi, and we find a Gemara, we find a Yerushalmi, that he was buried in Sipurdi, so that caver that's attributed to Rebbe over there might actually be from Rabbi Yehuda Nissia. With that said, though, it is maybe significant, the fact you haven't, again, in that cave in Beis Shardim, you do have those inscriptions, Gamliel and Shimon and Chanina, but Taka, the one that they attribute to Rebbe, does not, in fact, say Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi or anything like that. So maybe Taka, it was prepared for him, and maybe in the end, Taka, they didn't end up burying him over there, so we don't know. The Gemara continues, Hahu yom denoch nafshe de Rebbe, on the day that Rebbe passed away, Gozir Rabbanan Tan Nisa, Obo Rachmi, the Chachamim, his Talmidim, declared a fast, and they were begging for Rachmim from the Eibishter. Amri, and they said, Kol man de oman noch nafshe de Rebbe, anybody who says that Rebbe has passed away, Yedoker Becherev, should be pierced with a sword. Now, how could they say such a thing? There's a lot of different explanations among the Mefarshim what their problem with it is. One is, Parshat, they didn't want that, they didn't want, they, as long as they have the opportunity to daven, then they're going to continue davening that Rebbe should stay alive, and the Eibishter will listen to their tefillahs, and Rebbe will take to stay alive. They're not willing to let go of him so easily. A variation on that is even their thinking to themselves, Rebbe himself doesn't want to pass away. He himself wants to continue living in the world and being able to accomplish. So therefore they would be saying that. Marshaw gives a long explanation over here of this and the whole following piece of Gemara that after all we learned before that Rebbe after all continued to live after he passed away. We talked about how he went to his house every Erev Shabbos. So now they're saying that anybody who says noch nafshe that Rebbe has passed away, they're just saying like anybody else, if a person, a boss of a dumb eventually dies, so then he has no idea what Rebbe really is, and therefore you dock a becherem. Such a person has no business living in Poshet. Marshall also adds the point that the Gemara mentions elsewhere that Rebbe suffered from Yisurim for many years, and those Yisurim helped be a kapara for the entire world. That various day there, the Gemara mentions in Bava Metzia, actually, not far from that story about Rav Chiya over there, it mentions that Rebbe suffered from Yisurim for 13 years, and among other things, during all that time, they never even needed rain, because rain can sometimes be a bit of a hassle, so the world had enough moisture without it actually raining. So now they didn't want to give up Rebbe so fast. So anybody who says noch nafshe, then he's protecting the whole world with his chus, so they don't want to let him go so easily. There's also the point, Iyun Yaakov, Eitz Yosef rather, makes the point that anybody who says Rebbe Taka is suffering, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, he was having terrible Yisurim Megashmius, but anybody who says, you know what, he's better off dying, such a person where he has no idea then what the life of a tzaddik is. So basically, who needs him in that case? And there's a variety of other explanations of what exactly their problem was. By the way, Beni Hoyoda points out that another angle on it is also that Taka wanted an excuse to be able to daven as much as possible. If they're told that Rebbe has passed away, then fine, they have to stop davening. You can't daven for Tchias HaNesim. But otherwise, they want to continue davening. And in fact, he goes on to say their tefillahs actually did have an effect. Tefillahs never go to waste. So he says, you know, when we learned before that Rebbe would come back every Erev Shabbos and make Kiddush for his family, that was as a result of those extra tefillahs that they were doing on that day. So those thrillers did not go to waste, after all. Anyway, then there's also an explanation along the lines of, I think, the Sam Sofer, I think it is, gives an explanation. The problem is not if they say that Rebbe has passed away. The problem is more if they say the expression noch nafshe, which means his soul has rested. a Talmud Chacham, especially a Nasi B'Yisrael, like Rebbe, he doesn't rest Talmud Chacham, Ein Lam Menucha. They keep on growing more and more in the Olam HaEmes. So therefore, if somebody says Noch Nafshin, it means they have no appreciation for what Rebbe really is. Anyway, so the Gemara continues, Slika Amse de Rebbe Le'igra. Rebbe's maidservant went up to the roof. We find throughout Shas, we find mention of this maidservant, and we find in many places it shows that she was a very wise woman. She's not Sam a maidservant, she's not Sam mopping the floors or whatever, she's a great person in her own right. Anyway, Omer, she says, El Yonim Mevakshim Es Rebbe, V'tachtonim Mevakshim Es Rebbe. The higher ones in Shemayim, they want Rebbe, they want him to pass away and the Shema to go to Gan Eden. And the lower ones, the Chachamim down here on earth, also want Rebbe. Yehirotzen Shirakoyfu Tachtonim Es El Yonim. May it be your will, Hashem, she davens, that the lower ones should overpower the upper ones and Rebbe should stay alive. Maushur explains that, in other words, like this. We know a person has within himself, he has an Elyon and he has a Tachton, he has a Neshama and he has a Guf. Rebbe, as we're going to go on to say, he had completely refined his Guf, which is how we said before that he's Chai V'Kayim and he's able to come back in a Guf even after he passed away. So now she's saying that it's true that his neshama belongs up above. On the other hand, the tachtonim, which is where his body comes from, they also want Rebbe. They want him to be able to accomplish even more with his body, be able to accomplish even more of shleimus with his body in this world. And therefore, yehirotzen that the Eibishter should taka make that happen, and he should be able to accomplish more in mitzvahs, as a neshama in a guf. Kiven de Chazoi, but then she was noticing Kana Zimni de Ayla Besakise, how often Rebbe was having to go to the bathroom. We learned yesterday that Rav Chia had pointed out to him that Reuben Shal Tzadikim Nisosin B'Chol Me'ayim, most Tzadikim, and apparently Rebbe was in that category, passed away from stomach ailments. So Rebbe was having terrible stomach trouble, and he would have to go to the bathroom, and he was wearing tefillin all day, as they used to do in those days. V'chol af tefillin, so he would have to take off his tefillin to go to the bathroom, or manach lehu, and then afterwards put him back on, become its sire, and it was tremendous sire for him to do that. And Tosfos, in fact, points out, usually a person who has stomach ailments is completely potter from tefillin. So how is Rebbe B'chal wearing them and taking them off and putting them on? Because the reason is, Taka, a person with stomach, with digestive problems, Taka usually doesn't wear tefillin precisely because it's going to be very hard for him to control himself. He may pass gas, for example, and you're not allowed to do that while wearing tefillin. But Rebbe, being an exceptional Kaddish, then he would be able to be careful of that, so therefore he's obligated to wear tefillin despite the Chol Me'ayim, but then when he's actually going to the bathroom, then he has to take them off. So she realizes it's a tremendous tsar that he's not really able to accomplish mitzvahs as well as he wanted to. We see from that, in other words, he's already lacking in the shlemos that he's able to accomplish with his body. Omra, so now at this point, this maidservant changed her tune. She says, Yeheirotin Shia Kofu al Yonim as a Tachtonim. Now she said, may it be Hashem's will that the upper ones should overpower the lower ones and Rebbe should taka be able to pass away. Partially because of the tsar that he's having. It is an interesting point, Bechlal, whether you're allowed to do that. If you have somebody who seems to be incurably ill, are you taka allowed to daven for them to pass away? You have our Gemara over here. You also have a relevant Gemara in Nedarim, which we'll get to in a few weeks, Bez Hashem, where the Ram learns over there, based on a Gemara over there, that yes, you are allowed to do that. On the other hand, various Acharonim talk about it. They say the fact is you don't find the poskim bringing any such thing. And there's reasons to argue against it, among other things, that the Eibishter can always make things happen as he wants, and that there's always every moment of a Yid's life is precious, and especially if it's the relatives just davening for him to pass away, they might be doing it somewhat for selfish reasons, because it's such a burden and such an expense and whatever, keeping him alive, b'chol. So in practice, Achronim are very, very wary of this idea of davening for somebody to pass away. So there may be certain rare cases of it, but in general, they don't really like the idea. As far as what Amsa de Be'erevi was doing over here, okay, listen, you know, for all that she was a great woman, she's not a Talmud Chacham, so not necessarily can we derive something in Halacha from what she's doing.
The problem with the stomach and going to the bathroom is only with regards to Gedolim, right? Ketanim is not the same thing. It's not a problem.
Ketanim is a problem. No, Ketanim also. You can't do Ketanim while wearing tefillin.
No, I didn't say while wearing, but on off.
Yeah, well,
with the stomach.
How else is
it? Not as strict with the Gedolim, is it?
I don't know. No, it's the same basic freedom of line. Okay, so. But the Chachamim were not giving up. They were not being quiet from davening for Rebbe, that Rebbe should continue to live. Shoklakuza saw this maidservant standing there on the roof, and then davening to the Eibishter, she took an earthenware keli, Shadya Me'igra, and she threw it off the roof. And when it crashed down below, all the noise, Ishtiku Me'rachmi, all of a sudden, that noise caused the Chachamim for a second to stop their tefillas. The Noch Nafshe the Rebbe, and then Rebbe passed away. The symbolism of it, Marsha points out, is that a kli cheres, there's a concept in halacha called you can't kasher or be metahar a kli cheres. Once a kli cheres becomes tomei or treif, the only thing you can do is break it. So the same way, shvirot, that's called shvirose zui misose, breaking it is, that's how the keli dies. So the same way she's saying, shvirose, the breaking of a person, the tsar that a person has, zui misose, she's realizing the situation that Rebbe is in, it's tantamount to death as it is, the tsar that he's having where he's not able to do mitzvahs fully. So therefore she's saying, in that case, then let him be like the Kli Cheres, and therefore she did that in order to distract them from their tefillahs for a moment. Yad Yosef brings over here on the side from Yaris Drash, from Rabbi Yonis and Eibishitz, that adds, related to that, you know, we have in Yom Kippur davening, Moshel Kacheres HaNishbar, a person as like a broken piece of earthenware. So she was also symbolizing with this to the Chachamim, listen, you know, you're fervently davening that Rebbe should stay alive. But look, no matter what, whether it's another day or another year or another 1,000 years or whatever, soif soif, a person, a boss of a dom, eventually passes away, and he's going to be like a Kacheres HaNishbar. So in other words, she's symbolizing to them by that, it's time to give up. Well, now that the Chachamim had paused their davening for a minute, they realized maybe Taka, Rebbe, has passed away. Omru le Rabbanan le Bar Kapora, Zil Ayin. So they asked Bar Kapora, one of Rebbe's senior Talmidim, go see what's the story. Go see how Rebbe is doing. Ozo Ashkeche de Noch Nafshe, and Bar Kapora went and found Rebbe had passed away. Kare le Levushe, he ripped his clothing, as a Talmud does for his Rebbe. Vahadre le Kare la Chore, but he turned the ripped side backwards. For two reasons. First of all, because if he has if Marsha points out, if he has the ripped side openly in front of them, then that's tantamount to saying that Rebbe has passed away. They said before, anybody who said Rebbe passed away, Yedokah b'Cherev, so obviously he doesn't want that consequence. But in addition, other Mephoshim point out, it was also so as not to shock them. If they see him walking into the Beis Medrash with ripped clothing, then immediately they're going to realize what happened. He wanted to break the news to them more gently. Posach va'amar, so he started speaking, and a hesped, he said, Er elim umetsukim ochzu ba'aroin ha-kodesh. Er elim, which is a word in Tanakh used sometimes for malachim, and mitsukim, which means tzaddikim, Rashi points out that you have the word, an expression of posach, mitsukei eretz, which means the firm foundations of the world. That's the tzaddikim, the tzaddik yisod olam. So you have the malachim and the tzaddikim, ochzu ba'aroin ha-kodesh. They're both grabbing on to the aroin ha-kodesh. Each of them wants it by them. Nitzchu er elim es ha-mitzukim, the er elim, the malachim have overpowered the mitzukim, the tzaddikim, v'nishba aron ha-kodesh, and the aron ha-kodesh have been taken captive. Marsha explains the symbolism, as you say, in the Sefer Torah has not been captured. The Sefer Torah, which is Rebbe's neshama, that has not been captured, that's still with us. But the aron ha-kodesh, which is Rebbe's guf, that's still, that the er elim have grabbed a hold of, and it's gonna be buried. Omrulay noch nafshe. So they asked, do you mean that Rebbe has passed away? Omrulahu, he says, Atem kamritu v'ano le kamina. You said it, I didn't. Yeah? The Gemara continues, b'shas p'tirose shor Rebbe, right before Rebbe passed away, zokaf eseretz ba'osef klape maila. He lifted up his 10 fingers to up above, towards Hashem. Omar, he says, Rebbeinu Shloim, goli v'yadua lefanecha, it's well known and revealed before you, she'agaiti b'eseretz ba'osef ha'torah, that I worked hard, that I put tremendous effort with my 10 fingers into the Torah. But I never had hana even with the littlest finger. There's a few explanations what he means by that. Does he mean Rashi and Tosfos both say that Rashi says actually it means I never had any hana in this world even relative to the tircha that I put in even a finger's worth. So in other words, the idea would be he put in tremendous tircha, tremendous effort into the Torah, in particular gathering the Mishnayos as we have them, but he's saying I never had any hana from it, which can mean in other words that he never got any covered or anything for all of that. You're not supposed to get covered for or any kind of reward for learning Torah. It's supposed to be the Shema. So he's saying that in fact that's so. Tosfos says that it actually means as far as Tanuga Erlamazeh. that Tosfos brings from a medrash. When a person is daven, instead of a person shouldn't just daven that Torah should get into him, he should also daven that madanim, that delicacies of gashmius, should not get into his body. And it brings in this connection, this story of Rebbe. So in other words, Rebbe's saying, I never enjoyed all the delicacy, any of the delicacies of this world. We find in other Gemaras that Rebbe was extremely rich. The Gemara mentions in Avodah Zarah, for example, that Rebbe always had, even had vegetables that are out of season, he would have on his table constantly. But nevertheless, Rebbe never partook of any of them, we're saying. He never had a hanah from any of them. Then there are Mephoshim who explain that it means that actually Rebbe did eat these things, but everything that he did, we know that a real Oved Hashem, everything that he eats and everything that he does, as the Rambam describes, even he sleeps, even he has relations and everything, is purely l'shem shamayim and not for his own hanah. So that's another angle on what Rebbe means over here. Yes, of course he did these things. He ate like a regular person. He ate like other people do. He had relations and had children like other people do. V'chola v'chola. But he did it all not for his own hanah, but 100% l'shem shamayim. The Alter Rebbe brings in Tanya. You have most people need chibur takever. Most people need, after they pass away, they need a period where the tanugim of Olam Hazeh are beaten out of them with a process called chibur takever. And then the Alter Rebbe mentions, you have the rare person who doesn't need that. For example, we're saying over here, Rebbe, who says that he never had any hana from this world that was not purely lishma.
Sure, the question is asked, what's the cheshbon of I toys my 10 fingers? Torah is faithful.
Torah is seichel, but it also means for, so Ben Yehoyada actually refers to the fact that you have the ten the moichin and midos, but in that sense it means his 10 fingers represent. Then he put in all of his moichin and all of his midos into the Torah. But Marsha says that also ultimately when a person passes away, after all, his seichel still stays intact, his Torah, his neshama still stays intact. In fact, it's stronger in Olam Haba. What's missing is the ability to do practical mitzvahs maisis. Therefore, he's holding up his 10 fingers representing the power of maisa. He's saying, now these are my last moments, he's saying, this is now I won't have the chance to do maisa mitzvahs anymore. And therefore, but I'm testifying that all my life, all the maisa that I did was completely the Shem Shemayim, and there was never any personal benefit for me in it.
He's saying
in other words that he's saying that I did mitzvahs, but now I'm lacking. Now I'm not going to be able to accomplish mitzvahs anymore. They say a famous thing. I think it was the Vilna Gaon before he passed away was holding on to his tzitzis and crying and saying, listen, you know, this is the kind of mitzvah that in this world you can buy for a few pennies, and in the Olam Emes you can't get it for all the for everything that you could want for it. Anyway, so Rebbe continues, Yehiratzen melfanecha, Hashem, may it be your will, she has shalom v'menuchasi, that there should be peace in my rest. In other words, that there should be peace. In other words, yeah. So one...
Rest in peace.
Well, yeah, rest in peace. But yeah, one meaning of it is, in other words, that he's saying that... So one point of it is, Mephoshim say, is that, so the Rif points out, sometimes you might have, Hashem takes a tzaddik away from the world, because soon there's going to be a raw, there's going to be a disaster, and the Eidosh doesn't want that the tzaddik should have to be alive for it. Or sometimes you have that it's for a kapara for the generation. So now Rebbe is saying, that my Misa should be the second kind, it should be kapara for everybody, and that there should be shalom, everybody else should have shalom as a result of my passing. In my menucha, but in other words, he's not asking for menucha, he's saying that there should be shalom in my menucha, meaning shalom also meaning that there should be, that my menucha is going to be of the kind where I'm going higher and higher. But nevertheless, there should be shalom, there should be shlemus in it. Yotza Basko v'amra, sure enough, a Basko came out and said, quoted the pasuk, Yavoi Shalom, he will come in peace. Yonuchu al-Mashkavosam, they will rest in their lying places. So the Gemara says, why Amishkavoy's son, Amishkav Chomi Borilei? Shouldn't it say, this is the Baskol addressing the Tzaddik? It should be saying that you will rest in your resting place. Now, Marsha says, the Gemara is not so bothered by the word Yonuchu, which is in plural, because that can mean all the Neshamas of the Tzaddikim who come to accompany him to the Olam Emes. But the question is that, they should have a rest, Amishkavoy's son. So they should also have a rest, But if we're talking about the neshama, obviously the neshama is going to have a shlemos, is going to have a rest over there. So why mishkavoy sum in the plural? So the answer is Messiah le Rabchia Bagamda. This supports what Rabchia Bagamda explains. The Amr Rabchia Bagamda, Amr Rab Yosi ben Shol, the Shoshat Tzadik Niftim in Ha'olam, when a Tzadik passes away from the world, Omer Malach HaShoris, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the Malach HaShoris say to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Tzadik Ploini Ba. Such and such a Tzadik is coming to our world. Omer Lahem, Hashem tells them, in that case, Yavoy Tzadikim, V'yetzu L'Krosei, that Tzadikim should come, and come out to greet him, and they will tell him, Yavo Shalom, he should come in peace, Yonuchu Amishkevoy Sam, and they, all of them, Tzadikim, the Tzadikim who were already in Gan Eden, and the new Tzadik who's coming there now, all of them will rest in their, all of them will rest in their resting places. So therefore, that thus the plural Mishkevoy Sam, rather than Mishkevcha, because we're not addressing the Tzadik, this is the Eidish is saying regarding all those Tzadikim. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Elazar, B'shoshat Tzadik Niftim Na'olam, when a Tzadik passes away, Gimel Kittis from Malachi Asharis, Yotzis L'Krosei. There are three groups of Malachi Asharis that come to greet him. Achas Emeres Loi Boi Yovoi B'Shalom, one says he should come in peace. Now the Gemara at the end of Brachas mentions when you're speaking to a living person, you don't say B'Shalom, you say L'Shalom. No, it can also be Boi, but the point is, you say, you know, the Gemara mentions their life, but the point is, you don't say Bisholim, you say Lisholim. Because you find in last week's parasha, for example, Moshe is asking for permission from Yisrael to return to Eretz Mitzrayim, and Yisrael tells him Leich Lisholim. Because Lisholim means you're not yet at complete peace, but you're going to go towards it. You're going to go higher in your Avodah, and you're coming closer to the peace that you'll eventually have. Whereas by a Nifter, you don't want to tell him Lisholim as though you still have what to accomplish. He doesn't. Now, at this point, it's Bisholim with all of the peace that you already have. So therefore, so the first group of Malach HaShara says that to the Tzadik. The other second group says he has gone in front, meaning he's gone in the straight way. Unlike Rishoyim, who go in crooked ways, the Tzaddik has always gone the straight way, straight forward. And the third one says the expression from the Pasuk, Yavo Shalom, Yonuchu Amishkevoysam. So what do these three symbolize? Marsha explains you have like this. When we talk about Chassidus, we usually talk about four worlds, Abya, but really in another way you can divide them into three. You have the world of the Olam HaElyon, the world of Malachim and Ruchnius and all that. You have the middle world, which is the world of the stars and planets and whatnot. And then you have the Olam HaTachton, which is our familiar physical, our familiar world here on earth. So therefore, so the ones who are saying Yovei Shalom, Marsha says, are the group from the top level, from Pamal Yeshamayla. The Tzaddik's Neshama is going to come there, Tzura Rebetzura Chaim, in the bond of life with the Eidishtet. The second one saying, Holech Nechoichoi, is saying that the Tzaddik goes in the straight way, and with his schus, he's able to mimavatel things that would have come from Mazolos that are in that middle realm. Then the third group says that Yonuchu Amishkevoysam is the lowest world where the tzaddik's body is buried and is lying over there, Amishkevoysam, and therefore that's why the three. Maharal brings a different point on it. The Maharal says, you know, when you have the relationship of a tzaddik to the Eidishter, you have three things. You have the tzaddik's ava for the Eidishter, you have the Eidishter's ava for the tzaddik, and then you have the tzaddik's actual avoida. So those are reflected in the three groups of Malachi Asharas and what each of them says. On the other hand, the Braisa continues, if a Shosha Rosha never min olam, when a Rosha is lost from the world, Gimel Kittis from Malacha Chabala Yotzis Likrosi, then three groups of destructive Malachim come to greet him. Achas Emeres Ein Sholem Omer Hashem La Rishoyim, one quotes a Pasuk, Hashem says there's no peace for the Rishoyim. The Achas Emeres by the Matseva Tishkovun, another group says to him, you're going to lie down in upset, the Matseva means in frustration, in Etzev, whatever, yeah. In the third one, quotes from a Pasuk, the original context is a Nevuah, but Parei Melech Mitzrayim, Redov Hosh Kvar Es Arelim, go down into the grave and lie together there with the Arelim, with the uncircumcised Goyim. So a nice welcome, but yeah, it's the same thing, in other words, because these are Rishoyim. We can be talking about Goyish Rishoyim, not after we're talking about Jewish ones, but we're talking about Goyish Rishoyim, the pastors, but the Eidishter is saying that, so therefore the Malachim are saying the same kind of thing. You messed up in the Olam HaElyon, and the Olam HaMtzoy, and the Olam HaTachton, and vice versa, according to the Maharal thing, you hated the Eidishter, and the Eidishter didn't have much love for you either, and you did everything you could against him, so therefore you have three groups of Malachim giving him this welcome. Not the Yiddish Rishayim.
But it doesn't exist.
Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gu'ula, Chafal of Tevis. So the Rebbe was talking, of course, in the last years about adding extra in Limud HaTorah and Yoni Gula Mashiach. So the Rebbe was talking about it should be not just in a way of Sgula, that it should be we don't understand what the logic behind it is, but we're going to do it and then somehow it'll bring Mashiach closer. No, it's mainly that we should be living in Yoni Mashiach Gula, to live with the time of Yemos Mashiach. That way, a person's seichel gets filled and then completely penetrated with understanding about what Mashiach and Geula is all about, and from that, then it goes from the seichel, it goes into the feelings of the heart, until the poel mashal v'dibra ma'isa, in the way that's massive, in the way that's appropriate for this unique time when we're on the threshold of Geula and when we're able to point and say Hini zeh melech Mashiach ba. Halachas of Shabbos, we were talking yesterday about various things you are and aren't allowed to read on Shabbos. Rabbi Ozdra pointed out to me that the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch brings a Yesh Omrim that say, we were talking about what you're not allowed to read, Shtore Hediotis or whatever, Yesh Omrim, though you would be allowed to read medical literature and other kinds of Chochmas on that, because if the whole point is you can't read Shtore Hediotis, mundane things, these are not so easily confused with mundane un-Shabbistic writings like that. So therefore, there would be, and now the Rebbe says people are knowing in that way, so you would be allowed to. Does that mean, for example, that if you're studying for a degree in these things, and you're allowed to spend Shabbos, reviewing for an upcoming test? That I don't know. I suppose Rabbi Elzeva can tell us about that. That might be making the Shabbos l'chol. But the basic idea that you can read such books on Shabbos is more of a heter for Nefesh. I don't know.
It's kind of saying about. Many different science lessons.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned in general, Divrei Chochma, yeah.